when I was reflecting on what to speak on this evening, the passage that we're about to read, I thought would be most helpful. It's been one that, over the years of leading, I keep coming back to, and it's one that God's constantly drawn me to. And so I thought it would be helpful to share some of my thoughts and reflections on it this evening. As I say, it's bringing in some of the stories over the last few years. So if you'll turn with me, I think it's... Is it going to come up on the screen, Ben? Maybe Matthew 14? Yeah, Matthew 14, 22 to 32. So if you've got Bibles, if you've got your phones, you can turn there. Already helpfully, I printed it out and put it on here. So just before we pick up the story, so just before this, Jesus has, he's told a few parables. So he's told a few parables. He's tried to get some time on his own after he's heard about John the Baptist's death. He then was followed after trying to do this. He then fed the 5,000, and then so that's all directly before we then pick up the story. So Matthew 14, 22 just says this. I might have some water first, actually. So it says, immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if that's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come on the water, to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Lord, thank you just for your words. Would you just speak clearly to us tonight? In Jesus' name, amen. So, I wonder if anyone here has ever kind of ruled themselves out of something. Maybe you thought you're not good enough, you're not smart enough, you haven't kind of got the skill to do it. Anyone here sort of ruled themselves out? Yeah, a few hands. I'm sure most of you are amazing at everything. Few hands going up. So I'm going to be perfectly honest with you. I don't often get that. Now, that's not because I'm good at everything. Far from it. It's because every time I'm faced with a situation that I'm kind of ill-prepared for, ill-equipped for, just this tiny thing inside my brain just goes, "Yeah, I can do that. How hard can it be?" And so this often kind of puts me in situations where I probably shouldn't be in. As I say, I'm ill-prepared and ill-equipped for. So I just thought I would just give you a little example of that. So growing up, at school, I did a lot of sports. I was proud to be a sports leader in my last year of high school, and so I thought I was okay at doing sports. And then a couple of years ago, it was probably actually a similar time to when I started leading stuff at Encounter. It was over that summer, about 3 years ago. Someone from Holland Road, one of the members here, was going round and they were saying, "Oh, I'm part of a local cricket team that play just north of the Downs, and so they're part of this team that are up there. I'm getting some names together. We're putting together a team to play this local team. Would you like to be part of it?" I probably should have said no, but I said yes. So I said, "Yeah, definitely. How hard can it be?" So I said, I'll be part of that. And so up to this point when I said yes, guess how many games of cricket I had played in my life? Zero. That is correct. So up to this point, I'd never played a single game of cricket in my entire life. And so on the day, I turn up. I didn't really know what to bring because I've never played cricket before. So I didn't even bring cricket whites. So everyone's there in their lovely white cricket clothing. I've turned up in my black trackies and just this blue sports top amongst these seasoned cricket professionals. And I'm walking on thinking, "Oh, I haven't really got the right gear here." But thankfully, I managed to sort of cobble together some pads and I don't know, I think I found their lost and found cupboard somewhere. And I just found some special pads. I don't even know what they're called. This clearly shows you my knowledge of cricket. And to make matters slightly worse, I was working a bit late, so I turned up slightly late, and they were already a fair way already started. And again, to make matters even worse, the Holland Road team was full, and so I had to play on the local team. So here I am on the local team playing against Holland Road, and already I'm thinking, oh, this is not good. By this point, I had realized that it wasn't going to go well. And so I'm watching these balls, but thankfully, they were going to put me in last to bat, and I was like, praise the Lord. And so the ninth batter gets bowled out, and then I'm like, right, you're up. Brilliant, okay. So I'm wandering up, sort of bat in hand, thinking, what on earth am I doing here? All these white Holland Road fielders in all their whites standing around. I'm just thinking, oh, Lord, help me. So I've walked up, and I've seen also how fast these balls are coming down. And I was like, it's definitely a lot quicker than it looks on TV. Like, they're just coming so fast. Because you hear, like, oh, 90 miles an hour. You're like, it's not really 90 miles an hour, but it probably is. So I stand there, and I just think, right, just hold out. I don't care if I get no runs, that's fine. Just, I don't want to get bowled out. And to my amazement, I didn't get bowled out. Two balls are left and I survived, much to John Golding's disappointment. And so I held out and I managed not to get out. And then it turned over and we were going to field and bowl. And I thought, brilliant, I can field, I can run, I can throw, I can catch. I've got this down. And to be fair, I did all right. Then came the moment where they went, oh, Sam, here we go. You can bowl. And I went, no. So this is not a good idea. And they're like, oh, no, give it a try. And the words that I obviously should have said was no. But what came out of my mouth took more of the form of a yes. And so then I find myself standing down the crease with a cricket ball in my hand thinking, now what have I done? So it's fair to say that it did go very, very badly. They scored so many runs off my bowling. It's I don't know if any of you know cricket, but it's quite a specific technique to bowl. One that I do not have, and no matter how much I like to think I do, it was awful. And I'm pretty sure my bowling was one of the reasons why the local team lost the game. They got so many runs from it, it was unbelievable. So the moral story of that is cricket does look harder than it looks. Cricket is harder than it actually looks, is what I'm trying to say. But on the flip side, has anyone here ever thought they wouldn't be able to do something? But actually managed it, you know, through training. They've ever maybe ruled themselves out, but through practice or some sort of way, they've actually managed to do it. Has anyone here ever done that? Anyone here? I'd love to, anyone brave enough to share an example? Dad, I can see your hand went up pretty quickly. Have you got an example?
My degree.
Your degree, yes. Amazing. Anyone else want to share an example? Yeah?
Yeah, same degree as well, but
degree?
The half marathon.
Half marathon, yeah. Brilliant. That is cool. You know what? Mine's actually, I also did the half marathon. I never really thought I'd be able to do long distances growing up. I was always a sprinter at school. And so just get it over and done with, quick as possible, job done. And you don't really think about how long running a half marathon is. And so I started training. One of my work colleagues said, oh, do you want to do it? And I said, I don't know. Long distance isn't really my thing. And he was like, come on, we'll do it together as a team. And so I started training a couple of times a week. All the other work guys dropped out, but I was like, no, I'm going to do it. And I did it. 21.1 kilometers on the day. And I crossed the line and I was like, oh, this feels incredible. I was so overcome by emotion, I almost cried. Running over that line, it was absolutely amazing. And I'm guessing you guys as well, when you've kind of done what you thought you never would be able to, you kind of felt that as well, just that sense of achievement. And looking at the story, I think Peter probably never would have thought that he would have been able to have walked on water. You know, he was a fisherman, and so he spent much of his life on the sea. And I think if you asked him a couple of days before, even the day before, even 2 hours before, if you could walk on water, he would probably laugh at you. And so this is kind of the first thing I want to look at tonight is don't rule yourself out. There's two things within that I just want to share. But the first thing is that some people here may not feel, they may rule themselves out because they don't feel they're good enough. I don't know whether you share that. You've ever, people that rule themselves out from the first question, you feel like you've ruled it out because you just don't think you're good enough. And you may think that because of your status, because of your position, that you can't achieve everything. But let me tell you something. Before I started Encounter, before I took up the job of leading it, I never thought I would be able to lead it. I was leading the band Encounter at the time, and I remember when kind of the option was presented to me, I was like, no, I've not got time to do this. This is not for me. Thanks. I think someone else is better suited to it. And God very clearly spoke to me in that time, and he told me to go for it. And here we are 3 years later. And so it's been just been quite an incredible journey. And I guess you've kind of got some of a glimpse of that for those that you haven't kind of been on that journey with us. But before this point, before kind of encounter even started, I could have easily ruled myself out. And I remember, fun enough, it was at Soul Survivor. I was 16, 17 at the time. And I was just praising God, singing, worshiping. And I just felt like him just prompt me to really just want to go deeper and really want to that longing to go deeper. And just the idea of encounter was just batting around my head. And I went over to speak to Jason Fry about it. And Jesus was actually saying something very similar to him about some sort of event to put on, some sort of service. And so 5 months later, encounter was started. Before Soul Survivor, if you would have asked me, do you think this will happen? I would have said, nah, you're joking. But God very clearly spoke to me, and he spoke to Jason in that time as well, just about bringing encounter to fruition. And so what I want to say tonight as well is, you may feel like you're too young, too old for something, but God doesn't think so. Don't rule yourself out because you think you're too young or too old. And the second reason, I think that there can be this fear of failure. I think that actually people rule themselves out because they're scared of getting it wrong. And Peter, interestingly, is often remembered. Whenever you hear the story, he's often remembered for the guy that stopped having faith. But actually, he was the one on the water in the first place. And what I've tried to, as I said, encourage the team with over the years is to actually just try it. If we get it wrong, that's fine. I don't mind. The team leaders, you try something, get it wrong, doesn't matter. So that's what I've really tried to make the culture of the team. And we just so often, naturally, our instinct is that we just have this fear of getting it wrong, and fear that we're going to look like a fool. And for some of us, obviously, that's deeper than others. It's deeper rooted for some than it may be for other people. Now, I'm sure many of you have heard of the animation company Pixar. Just a little picture here. They make such films as Toy Story 1, 2, 3, and 4, The Incredibles, Inside Out, Cars. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. I'm not going to bore you with the list of all of them. They are amazing films, if you haven't seen them. I recently read a book by the guy that kind of created Pixar, the director, the president of Pixar, Ed Catmull, his picture. This is the guy that heads up Pixar. And their whole ethos as a company is to learn by kind of trial and error. They have a very, very healthy view from learning from mistakes. And he wrote a book just about kind of the history of Pixar and how their company runs. And I thought, I read it recently, and there was just a section here on failure that I thought was so insightful and really helpful. I just thought I would share it with you tonight. So he writes this. For most of us, failure comes with baggage, a lot of baggage, that I believe is traced directly back to our days in school. From a very early age, the message is drilled into our heads, failure is bad. Failure means you didn't study or prepare. Failure means you slacked off, or worse, aren't even smart enough to begin with. Thus, failure is something to be ashamed of. This perception lives long on into our adulthood, even in people who have learned to parrot the often repeated arguments about the upside of failure. How many articles have you read on the topic alone? And yet, even as they nod their heads in agreement, many readers of those articles still have the emotional reaction they had as a child. They just can't help it. That early experience of shame is too deeply seeded to erase. All the time in my work, I see people resist and reject failure and try mightily to avoid it, because regardless of what we say, mistakes feel embarrassing. There is this visceral reaction to failure. It hurts. We need to think about failure differently. I'm not the first to say that failure, when approached properly, can be an opportunity for growth. But the way most people interpret this assertion is that mistakes are a necessary evil. Mistakes aren't a necessary evil. They aren't evil at all. They are an inevitable consequence of doing something new, and as such, should be seen as valuable. Without them, we'd have no originality. And yet, even as I say this, embracing failure is an important part of learning, I also acknowledge that acknowledging this truth is not enough. That's because failure is painful, and our feelings about this pain tend to screw up our understanding of its worth. To disentangle the good and the bad parts of failure, we have to recognize both the reality of the pain and the benefit of the resulting growth. I thought that was really helpful. I don't know whether you found that helpful, but just looking at failure. And, you know, we have, as I said, this deep-seated fear of failure. And sometimes you can't even put your finger on why. It's just we don't like to fail. We don't like to feel like we've got something wrong. But you see that failure, in Peter's mind, he didn't seem to think about it. If you look, it just says, verse 29, then Peter got out the boat. He didn't stop to think, what if I drown? Which I think actually is probably a fair question in this situation. But he just trusts. He didn't rule himself out for fear it may fail. He just trusts. And I want to tell you this evening that if you fail or not, that does not change who you are in Christ. What job you have does not change who you are. You know, I know GCSE results, A-level results, and I'm sure loads of other exam results came out recently, and whatever you got in that, whether you passed, whether you failed, that does not change who you are in Christ. And that's so exciting. You know, and when we get our heads around that truth, we just get set free. We can live our lives just without this fear of failure. And so don't rule yourselves out because you're fearful you may fail. And one of the amazing things about this, one of the amazing truths that we can trust in, is that it's not actually down to us. And this is kind of where I want to end us this evening. Is that when we take this step of faith, it's not down to us. Once we've stepped out the boat, it's down to God. And Hudson Taylor, just a picture here. Me and Ben were chatting before, actually. It's a great beard. If he was in Brighton, he would fit in with the beard culture very well. He was a missionary in China for the majority of his life. He was the founder of the OMF, which mainly focuses on kind of unreached people and planting churches where there are no churches. And he felt like God was telling him to pursue expanding the mission in China. So he'd already spent a lot of time out there, and he came back to the UK, and he felt like God was telling him to kind of go that next step, to go further inland. And He was really struggling and wrestling with it about how to do that. And then he came to Brighton. So he did actually fit in with the Brighton culture. He was just 150 years too early. So he's recorded saying this in 1865. He said, "All at once came the thought, if you are simply obeying the Lord, all the responsibility will rest on him, not on you. What a relief. I cried to God, you shall be responsible for them and for me too." You see, before this moment, Hudson Taylor was kind of, he was bearing all the responsibility of this mission on himself. And then he realized, and you kind of, as you hear this quote, you get the feeling he's just going, taking a breath of fresh air, as you probably would down the seafront, some nice sea salty air. He just gets almost set free from this responsibility. And realizes that it doesn't rest on him, it rests on God. And this is what kind of what Peter does. He just says yes, and just gets out of the boat. I mean, you think about that, you're like, what? Like, because it can't have been safe. He's a fisherman. He knows that you don't just climb out of boats. And so it just, I was struck again when reading this passage, just how crazy it actually was that he just gets out of the boat. He doesn't know that he's going to walk on water. He may be thinking, oh, I'll just swim to Jesus. But no, he steps out and he walks on water. And all he does is just say yes, and Jesus takes care of the rest. And so it's not down to us because of what Jesus has already done on the cross. See, I ran my half marathon. That required me, and Fiona did the half marathon. That required us to do the hard work and the training. That was down to us. But when Peter walked on water, that was down to God and what he can do. And you see, when we focus on our downfalls, on our weaknesses, when we say we're too old, too young, when we say, I just can't do that, what we need to do is fix our gaze upwards. Because when we focus on all our shortcomings and all our failings, we're not trusting in the God that can do all things. It just says this in Ephesians. It says God can do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine. And so all we have to do this evening is pretty simple. We just have to say yes to what God's calling us to do, and the rest will rest on him. And so tonight, as I finish, I just want to give everyone here the opportunity to be prayed for. You know, Peter never would have walked on water if he didn't have step out of the boat. I feel like that's fairly self-explanatory, but you've got to think about it. He never would have walked on water if he didn't step out of the boat. And there can be this very British culture of being quite reserved, quite composed, but the kingdom of God is not like that. The kingdom of God is not reserved. In the kingdom of God, there's no fear, there's no condemnation, and when ordinary people are brave and the Holy Spirit moves, incredible things happen. And so all we have to do is step out the boat. In fact, in verse 29, all Jesus asked Peter to do is just to come. And that's what I want to kind of give us the opportunity to do tonight, is to just come. And so there's going to be people dotted around. Where do you want to be? Back, maybe? Yeah. So by the refreshments there, it's just going to be just a couple of people to pray for you. Now, when there used to be these moments, I used to think, ah, that's nice for other people to go get prayed for. That's lovely. I don't really need it, but that's great. They can do that. But as time's gone by, I've just realized that was really stupid of me to think that. I've realized I do have a deep need to be prayed for. And I realized I wasn't actually prepared to step out the boat. I wasn't prepared to do what kind of God was asking me to do. I wasn't prepared to step out of my comfort zone. And I can't recommend enough this evening that you just go and just ask for prayer. There's two things, I've just kind of, two prayer points, I guess, that are going to come out of this as I was preparing. I just thought it would be really helpful to kind of, maybe that you can ask these people to pray for you for. And so the first one is just that you'd have more courage and faith to step out the boat. Maybe when I was talking about just that fear of failure and just feeling that you're not good enough to do what God's telling you to do, I just want to give you the opportunity to be set free tonight. So maybe you can go up and answer that. But maybe you feel like you've already stepped out the boat, because I'm aware that there may be people that feel like they're trying to do what God's called them to do, but you're not seeing any fruit. And so the second thing is just that God would open our eyes to see the work that he's already doing, and just that you would see some fruit. So maybe you're in that second category, and you want God to just kind of reveal to you what he's already doing, because I'm sure he is. If you're really stepping out for what God's telling you to do, I'm sure he's doing something. And so that's what these guys would love to pray for you, the second point. I mean, feel free to ask prayer for anything else, if there is anything else you like prayer for. They'd love to pray for you for anything. But those are just the two points that I was just thinking it would be great if you step out the boat and just ask for prayer for those things tonight. So let's take this seriously tonight. If you're serious about the kingdom of God, come, please, get prayer. Be brave. Take that step out of the boat. People aren't going to look at you and think, oh, that's weird, he's going to go get prayer. They're not going to do that. So please, just feel it's a safe space. And I really just want you to get excited about the gospel tonight. And so let me pray. Guys, maybe if you dot around, the band want to come up as well. I'm going to leave these two points up here. So the band are going to sing. They're going to play. I just want to, as I said, leave just this space and this time just for you to really reflect on these and actually get prayed for. So, Lord, would you come tonight? Thank you for what you've already been doing. Would you give us courage? Would you give us faith? Help us, Lord, to step out of that boat, to step on the waters that you call us to. Thank you that we can trust in you. When we do step out, it no longer rests on us, it rests on you. Help us to live in that freedom. Thank you for what you've already done for us. Lord, we know that nothing changes our identity. Nothing changes who we are in you. For whatever happens in our life, that still remains a truth. Would you be stirring people's hearts tonight? Give them faith. Give them courage. Lord, we recognize that sometimes fear can, it can just have these chains around us. We can sometimes feel bound by fear that there's no way out. And maybe if you're feeling that tonight, that you're kind of bound by that fear, just I encourage you to just ask one of the people at the back just to pray for you for that. Just feel like maybe the Lord wants to set you free tonight just from those chains that are holding you. Almost like there's just these shackles around your ankles. That's just what I've got this picture of, that you've just got these shackles around your ankles and you feel like you can't move. You feel like you can't step out of the boat because you've got these things strapped around your ankles. So Lord, would you move tonight and speak to us? In Jesus' name, amen.